check. Hey. So clearly I'm not Pastor Jason. My name is Crystal Allemand, and I've been here with you guys at Parkway, I think about 8 years. It's been such a blessing that the Lord brought me here to be with you all and to enjoy fellowship in this body of believers. But more importantly, I became a part of the kingdom of God when I heard the call of Jesus about 29 years ago, and I've been blessed to abide in his kingdom, to live in his goodness ever since then. So, woohoo! So, I wanted to let you know that middle schoolers and high schoolers, you're welcome to go. You have been released. So go enjoy fellowship in the goodness of the Lord, and super thankful, Lord, as they go, I thank you that they are full of your anointing and Holy Spirit. I thank you that you've given them everything they need for life and victory. I thank you that they have the fullness of you available to them, and I pray today as they go that your Holy Spirit would move through them in mighty power. Lord, and I just thank you for each and every person who showed up in this place today, whether it was to serve tangibly with a scheduled event or up front, or whether it was to serve by participating in the seat by offering our worship and our faith. Lord, to stand into agreement, we all affect the atmosphere and we all partake of it. Lord, and your word says that it's all for equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, that we all may come into the fullness of maturity and we may duplicate and multiply. So I just thank you, Lord, for each and every person in this place that they gave you your yes. You tell us to make the most of every opportunity, and the best way I know how to do that, Lord, is to just show up and let you have your way. That's how we each make the most. So I just pray right now, Lord, that everybody in this place, whether it's just been a long time since they've had a tangible experience of your love, or maybe, Lord, they've just never experienced your love in a tangible way, would you just touch them right now? Would you just reveal? That encounter changes everything, Lord. It changes everything. So we just thank you that your mercies are new every morning, that your love is always fresh and engaging, that it never grows stale, never grows boring. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you want to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to do something a little different. A few of us are going to get up and share just a few different things about what we feel like, you know, the Holy Spirit's doing and how the Lord is moving in our congregation, but also in our city. And how many of you know that even though we like attend this church, and maybe you're a member of this church or you're just a participant, but we're a part of a body, right? And we're one body, right? We're not like many little bodies, right? That would be weird. If like my arm was separate, I had a little body with it, all these little minion bodies that my head was controlling, it would really be chaotic. It might be fun. I don't know. Maybe in heaven. I don't know. But we are one body, and we get to flow with what he's doing in great measure. Keep me on track. So I wanted to talk about, you know, as you guys know, we've been really, the last few years, working on just blessing the community with events that can provide a place and a space here at our campus, you know, that they can come and enjoy and celebrate and just feel the tangible love of the Lord in ways such as our Easter egg, you know, thing in Rise 24. And you guys have done the youth thing that's super cool. The Edge, yes, that my kids went to when they were in high school. So now they're like 30 to 25. It's so bizarre. But anyways, all these opportunities to people to come onto the campus and just really engage with the Lord and see that, like, he's not scary. He's mighty, but he's wonderful. His love is good. And so this year, as we begin to seek the Lord, my husband and I get the sweet opportunity to oversee the prayer team. And last year, or a year and a half ago, we just started feeling this unction like, man, wouldn't it be great if we had a presence like in community events off the campus as well? Like, we love that people are given this place and space. But we also are just feeling this draw, but there was just no life on it. You know what I mean? How many of you know sometimes there's like an unction for something, but it's just not flowing? And so sometimes we're to persevere and push it. Other times we're to just yield and wait upon the flow, right? And so I think that what has been happening is that there's been just a lot of a move the last year and a half, I think, in all the churches in our valley, which I think is fantastic, to just really come into the place of prayer and intercession for our community, right? There's something that happens when we begin to look at things and go, we don't know what to do about these things, but we know the one who's done it all. He's already accomplished it. And what happens is, I don't know about you, but I feel like everywhere you look, all anybody wants to talk about is bad news. Anybody? Like, I get weary of it. I'm just like, oh my goodness, I can't stand this. I don't want to hear one more bad thing, right? You know, like, everywhere you go, even the things that used to be like detachment, like, I don't know, like, you know, Little House in the Prairie, or, you know, like, just getting to do social media. It's just bad news, bad news, bad news. This negative thing happened, this hard thing happened, this challenging things happened, right? But Jesus didn't say, come and preach your good views. Come and talk about and magnify the enemy and all that he's doing. Fix your eyes on what's wrong and obsessively try to fix it from the bottom up. Is that what he said? I mean, I don't see that. No, he said, come unto me, and if you lift me up, I will draw all judgment to myself that people can walk free. He said, hey, go into all the world. You guys know the commission, the Great Commission. We all talk about it. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation, not even just to believers, like declaring that good news. You know, if you translate that literally, it says, as you're going in the world, be the good news to all creation. Right? Like, there is this walk we have as believers that is, as we're going in the earth, everywhere you go. We went one time and lived in another country, and everyone's like, oh, you guys going on the mission field? And we go, nope, we're just moving to Uganda. Well, you're not going on the mission field? I go, I think if you're a born-again believer, you are on the mission field. You've already entered the mission field. Your life is a mission field, right? You are on a mission now to advance the kingdom of God. Your life is no longer your own. You've been a partaker of a divine nature. You're no longer bound by your humanity and the limitations of it. He came and he set you free, right? Amen? So there's this walking out. Here's the thing. We get to learn to walk out everything he's worked in, right? And all that we're longing for, it's found in him, right? It's an interesting thing. It's one of those, so for the last year and a half, I've really seen this place of prayer and intercession coming up as we as the church starts going, wait a minute. It is really good to do good things. Right? It's really good to do good things. But you have to understand, you are bringing his nature. He gave you the name of Jesus. Have you ever heard it said when you came to him, he gave you a new name? But his name is his nature. So you're no longer just doing your best to strive along, to try to find fulfillment, to try to encourage yourself. You now have been given his divine nature alive in you. Right? Amen? Like, that's good news. I should have got a hoo-hoo or something out of that, right? Okay, so there's been this place of going into this place of prayer where we're just like, Lord, here's what we know. You are the good news. You came and you already gave the victory. You already set the captives free. Lots of people can do lots of good things, but only those who are born again can affect the spirit realm in a positive way that opens the atmosphere for good transformation to flow. Does that make sense? So he says, originally, so here we go. If we go back to the garden, okay, we're going to go back to the garden, right? The creation, the beginning of time. How many trees were in the middle of the garden? Two, right? Two? Okay. Did he say don't eat of either of those? Oh, fascinating. So what tree did he say don't eat of? The tree of what? Right. It's the knowledge of good and evil. Isn't that fascinating? Don't you ever hear that and go, why wouldn't you want us to know what's good? And I felt like he said, because the tree of life is there. And it was to be freely partaken of. And you can go out of this life flow of his spirit alive in you. That was the desire. No longer obsessed with what's right, wrong, good, bad, empty, needing to be satisfied. Right? You get to walk in the flow of life. And it's not, because how many of you know, I'm sorry, 90% of things aren't good or bad. It kind of depends. Okay, I'm not saying there's not absolutes. Don't email my pastor and tell him that I said that you could do anything and it could be good or bad. But I'm just kidding. We always joke about pastors talking about getting emails. So anyways, there's this flow of life that he said, Jesus came to make it to where you're no longer obsessed with good, bad, right, wrong. Aren't you tired of striving? Aren't you tired of that? Doesn't that get wearying? Just when you think you figured it out, something else comes and knocks the wind out of your sails. Look at the woman at the well. She's like, I need to be loved. And Jesus said, you've been loved many times, and yet here you are. You've had five husbands, and you actually live with one who's not your husband. You're not satisfied. He says, I am love. I'm what you're longing for. I'm the only thing that can satiate you, right? The other side of that, the rich young ruler. You guys know that story? He comes, he's wealthy, he has everything, and he says, hey, I have followed all your commandments since I was a child. Not only am I wealthy, but I'm a good person. I've always done the right thing. And he goes, okay, don't you wonder? So why are you coming to Jesus? Because something in him was still not satisfied. I tried to find purpose in doing good deeds and being a good person, but yet there's still something in me lacking, right? So he's in that place, and Jesus says to him, actually, what you lack is me. See, we're born with the spirit of death from the garden, right? When they partook of the fruit, the spirit that was alive in us became a spirit of death. That's our humanity. That's why the word sin means you miss the mark. Like, we mix up the words sin, iniquity, transgression, but they're different words. So you have this sin nature, this nature that misses the mark. But Jesus came, and he conquered that nature of death, and he gave, he said, whosoever. How many people is that? Anyone. Is he the barrier? He said, only these ones that I picked and that I've chosen. So what this comes down to, how does this play into, Crystal, what are you talking about? What does this have to do with where we are in prayer and all of that? So we began to see, as people begin to seek God's heart for people, we get drawn right back to the good news. It always comes right back to the good news, right? And what he did, so I was at Chipotle one day. By the way, anybody stoked we're getting a Chipotle here? Woo! Like, yes, so excited about Chipotle here in Grants Pass. Grants Pass is like leveling up. That's all I'm going to say. Let's prophesy into that instead of speaking about all we lack, right? The 1% of things that we see instead of the 98% of what God's doing, right? Let's prophesy into that. So anyways, I was in Chipotle up in Eugene with my husband. And the app, it was just a buzzy environment. Like, the music was loud, and it was that kind of music that you were like, oh, I just can't stand this music, right? It just, it like aches my soul. And like, the people were buzzy, and it was just a buzzy environment. So one of the things that we'll often do is we'll just start going, Lord, we just thank you that we bring your presence into this atmosphere. We just pray that you would begin to show us who here right now we could speak your heart into, right? So we can pray into the atmosphere as a whole, but then we want to start speaking into individuals. And it was a fascinating thing because, honestly, I think this has only happened to me one other time in 30 years. I got nothing. I'm looking at people, and Lord, what's your heart for them? And I was like, nothing's coming to me. And now, believe me, there's many times somebody's just like popped out to me and I'm going, I have nothing, but I'm just going to go talk to you and trust the Lord to fill my mouth, right? Like, sometimes you got to, you know, the going comes before the knowing, right? So do that. Don't step back. But I felt like there was just something the Holy Spirit was trying to show me. And so as we left there and we're driving, I was like, Lord, what was that? And I felt like the Lord said to me, kind of in a little bit of a correction, he said, you asked me to show you who was ripe for harvest. And I went, yeah. And he goes, why are you so fixated on the harvest? Where's the planting and the watering? If you guys haven't been planting and watering, what are you harvesting? Ooh, that's good. And he reminded me of the sower who, the parable of the sower who went and he just began to scatter seed liberally. He wasn't analyzing the soil. We were Americans and we have knowledge. We like order soil, put our soil in the right stance. Right? We know what to plant in what season, what's going to grow, what's not. But this sower, he bypassed all of those natural rules and he went for the upside down kingdom. And he said, I'm just going to begin to sow liberally. Right? And so he began to sow. And then he reminded me of the parable that said, and an enemy came in and he planted seeds amongst them and tares began to grow up. And instantly they start going, should we tear up the tares? And he said, don't worry about the tares, because if you tear those up, you're going to tear up some of the wheat. So let them grow up together, and at the time of harvest, they'll be separated. Amen? So the Lord began to speak to me, going, just, you know, I just pray that the body would begin to sow seed liberally once again, that we not be so worried about what's right and wrong, uprooting what isn't good, seeing where people, making sure people are where they're supposed to be, like that we could just once again just start going. And he said, the seed is the word of the kingdom. Right? Amen? And I love they were singing about, you know, ears and somebody else. The word says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Touch the side of your face. Do you have ears? Ooh, in Jesus' name, we say we can hear because we have the ears, right? Amen. So what we're going to begin doing is we felt like this intercessory thing began to flow. And what has happened, in my opinion, is what that does is it opens up the spirit realm for the things of the kingdom to flow more fluidly without so much warfare. Like there's a more fluid thing for the people to receive, right? And so what we're doing this year, and this is what Pastor asked me to share about, is we really feel like this heart to go out into the community, and we just want to be present. We just want to be present. We want to be scattering the seed of his love, not to get converts for Parkway, you know, not even worrying about gaining harvest and adding numbers, but just making sure that we're planting and we're watering. Like Paul said, it's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos. Maybe one watered and one sowed, but it's God who gets the increase at all times. And I feel like this is like the year of the evangelistic rise, right? And let me tell you this, you may not walk in an office of an evangelist, but I don't know anywhere in the word that it says that not everybody should evangelize. We're all to be duplicating. At 2025, it's the year of multiplication. Right? Like we're to be scattering seed, trusting the Lord of the harvest to sow on it and be duplicating in whatever sphere you're in, right? But we want to also be intentional to come together, to bring our unity together and our faith together to go into our community and share the gospel in a very tangible way with people. So we're going to be starting, and we had I like to call it a get together. I don't like calling it meetings. Am I the only person who's like, oh my goodness, I can't do any more meetings? You know, my kids were teasing me because I called it a shindig. So we go have a shindig. They're like, what on earth is a shindig? So I was like, okay, we can call it a get-together. We're going to go get together. But we had a get-together on Friday. Many people came. We're just excited at the prospect of being in the community. And so what I love about this kind of an outreach that the Lord's calling us to do right now, do I have like 2 minutes? Am I good? Okay. Is that it's really something opportunity, no matter your personality, no matter what you've spiritually walked in. Like, we need people who are creative to come up with ideas, but we also need people who have skills to implement the ideas. It's, you know, I don't know about you, I have way more vision than I have ability. So, you know, we need people with ability to kind of put these things into place. We want people who just want to encourage and have a heart for the community to be in places like booths at the Boatnik and things like that. So, but we want to show up as those who walk in royalty. We don't want to show up as poverty Christians. Right? So we're believing God that because we're, you know, we're of his kingdom, we come with his kingdom resources. So it's funny because somebody said, what's our budget? I said, I don't know. We're just going to ask the Lord to show us what to do, and we're going to walk in it, and we're going to believe him. We're going to do it the way the upside kingdom says. We're not going to let money, time, ability tell us what we're going to do. We're going to ask the Lord, and when we get a word from him, we're then going to say, okay, Lord, show us how to duplicate the fish. Show us how to add the things of you to it, right? And so if you're interested in being a part of that, we would love you to join us. Really, you know, we need the prophetic people. We need the prayers. We need the builders. We need the skilled people, the laborers, you know. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, one of the first times it showed up in the Old Testament was to anoint the builders to build the temple? Right, like all we do, all the deacons were not the lower position for the people who weren't spiritual. He said, we can't spend our time serving tables, so get those who are anointed with the Spirit to serve tables. Right? Like there's something God wants us to come together to do. So if you're interested in that at all, I really believe it's the year of evangelistic rise up. Right? And so I actually have a Parkway email. So it's crystal@parkwaycc.com. Crystal, CRYSTAL, @parkwaycc.com. Feel free to email me. You can even just grab me. If you Google me, my phone number will pop up with my business. So you can call, you can text, whatever you need to do. But we'd love, love, love you to join us in just like spearheading the vision of the Lord. I think the first thing we're going to do is a float in the parade. And we really just want it to be like the flow everyone's talking about at the end of the parade, and something on it that just magnifies the Lord. You know what I mean? Have you ever talked to somebody and they were just like, man, Jesus wasn't even my purview in one little conversation, and now I can't get him out of my sight, right? We just want him, people just to like, I wasn't even thinking about the Lord, but now I can't stop thinking about him, right? So that's what we're going to do. So that's kind of just a taste of where we're going. We're going to start with that. There's all kinds of community activities out there. If you have a heart for one and not the other, you can do some and not all. And so we just welcome you to join us in that. Mark is going to come up. One of the things that goes with evangelism is discipleship. I mean, you know, if we're out there just like winning mass souls, but we're never imparting to people even. You know, I'm big on impartation and revelation, not just teaching. But, you know, we want to make sure that we're following up so people have that growth they're looking for. So here we get our elder, Mark Swanberg.
Don't run off just yet.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. So did you notice that she kept talking about how she speaks to the Lord and the Lord speaks back to her? Don't lose that. Tell me just the 30-second version of people that you can think of that mentored you in discipleship.
I would say the 30-second version is the Lord brought different people at different seasons to impart different things and receive different things from me. And so you don't get caught up in just the one person. Make sure you're flowing in community. And one of the things the Lord spoke to me was that people aren't ministry, they're fellowship. We minister unto the Lord and we fellowship with one another. Therefore, we're always depositing and receiving from one another. So there's a more complete flow of his spirit going. And it's all out of our relationship with him, not to get our relationship with him.
Yes.
From relationship, not for.
Did you guys give it up for Crystal? Thank you, Crystal. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about discipleship. Discipleship is something that I just absolutely love and get and understand the importance of. And I had heard lots of conversations about what discipleship is. And the basic idea of discipleship is being able to get together with other people, usually some above you spiritually, and oftentimes some below where you're at, and depending on the people's where they're at in their walk, and to have people experience, be able to impart and share with you their wisdom, but also sometimes you'd be surprised that you're in a group of people, and maybe the person with the least amount of experience says something so profound because it comes from God, and then you end up able actually to receive. And so there are people that I have discipled for many, many years and many, many hours, and now they speak into my life. Sometimes I feel like I'm actually learning more from them than I'm able to teach them. And so it's a really kind of neat revolving door as far as that goes. I wanted to speak for a second here about the difference between believing and following. So as I was worshiping, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and saying, this is a really good example to give. In the Bible, Jesus walks past John the Baptist, and two of John the Baptist's disciples, when he looks at Jesus, says, "Behold the Lamb of God," and they were like, "See ya," and they started following Jesus. Now, they had committed their life to John the Baptist, and they just immediately went from believing who he was to following him. And it's just a really, really neat understanding of what it means to completely immerse yourself. Now, these guys would follow somebody for their whole life. And so it was a big commitment for them to leave one after making a commitment and then to commit to another. But knowing that this was the Christ, they immediately dropped what they were doing. And they went from believing, which was understanding who he was, to following, which meant they were about to engage in everything he does. Okay? All right. I want to go back to the very beginning of time, as far as our time. When I was preparing this, I was thinking about how God doesn't have a timeline. He always was, he always will be. And in case you're curious as to why there's a timeline, it's because we're not as smart, so he gave us an in the beginning so that we could put a date on it, otherwise we wouldn't understand how this all works. But if we go back to the fall of man when Adam and Eve had the relationship with God, and there was just bliss. It's essentially what all our goal, all of us corporately, our goal is to have that relationship with the Father that we know we're going to have, and a lot of us refer that to going to heaven. Actually, I like to refer to it as having my relationship restored with the Father, because it's not the place I'm as interested in. It's his presence in him that I just can't get enough of. But there was a break, and what happened was when Adam and Eve were disobedient, they went from being in the presence of God to him ushering them out. Now, if you've ever been in a theater where somebody was making too much noise and the person got ushered out, that's not like a, I came, I'm leaving, what's the difference? It's like, no, we need to get you out of this space immediately. And it's a whole different change in mentality. We never want to forget, as believers, what that's about, because it's so critical that what happened when Jesus came, when the Father sent His Son and Jesus came, and the opportunity for us to have a relationship restored back to Him, was that we now can be ushered back in. So think about how they were ushered out. The problem was that God couldn't be around them because they weren't holy and blameless. And so they were ushered out. And Jesus ended up fixing that problem. So now we can usher back in. So there's a whole goal of our existence and our fellowship and everything is for all of us to be able to have that relationship now with Him. We can't be there in the physical, but we can enter right back in and meet with the Father through the access that Jesus has given us, and that's just so critical. The two methods that we use to be able to do that, that are most common, are the Word, and that is, your Bible, and it's called the Living Word of God because it He speaks through it to you. Like, you can read these words and nothing wrong with reading through the Bible in a year, but I found out that if you slowed way down, and you just really listen to the Word slowly and concentrate on what they're saying and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what it is that God wants to say and invest in you in the scriptures that you're in, it'll just come alive and you'll find yourself right in the middle of the story and God will speak to you and show you things that you haven't seen otherwise. As the men's leader for the church, we offer different kinds of Bible studies. And so there is three different opportunities, one on Tuesday night, and that's in the book of Colossians. That time is from 6 to 7. On Wednesday night, from 6:30 till 8, and that's in the book of Acts. And then Thursday mornings from 6:30 in the morning to 8:30 in the morning, we're in the book of 2 Timothy. And this is exactly what we do. We go through the scripture, we slow down. It's not a lecture, it's a communication between all the people in the room. And I highly encourage you to come to that because that will be one of the number one opportunities for you to engage in discipleship. And the second is obviously your relationship with God. And not necessarily in the order that I gave it to you, but the Word can speak to you, and if you study it with other people, then you will be sharpened, and there's discipleship there. The other is your relationship with God, and I went over that a second ago. Don't squander or waste the opportunity to meet with Him. The price that Jesus paid and for the Father to send His Son and for the Holy Spirit to live in us is something absolutely amazing, and it is available to us now. Again, we can be ushered back in. It's the whole goal. We actually have access back to the Father where they were ushered out. The Word of God says that we were chosen and we're holy and blameless before the foundation of the earth was set. And when you think about that scripture, it's in maybe Ephesians 1:3, I believe it is. We're actually, not holy and we're not blameless unless we're looked at through Jesus. So that price that He paid, that problem that He solved, Jesus is the answer to that, and that's how the Father sees us. We are ushered back in. The answer to abundant life is being restored back to the relationship before Adam and Eve had before the fall of man. Now, I briefly want to talk to you guys a little bit about gifts and how that relates to discipleship. So, we all have gifts. And I've been having a lot of conversations with people lately, and they've been saying, I don't think I have any gifts. I don't really know what my gifts are. And actually, there's things in you that you really enjoy doing, and they relate to the very things of the way God made you to use those things for the kingdom. You will find out what your gifts are in the discipleship process, in spending the time in Bible studies, in communication with other people, in the church. You will find out what those are. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. Carefully walking through the word together gives us insight into the ways of Jesus and how his disciples responded to the life of Jesus and how their gifts were developed. Both before and after his death and resurrection, it gives us a clear picture of what he wants to do. There's a scripture that talks about iron sharpening iron. I briefly mentioned it a second ago. In the woodworking trade, and it's a lost art right now, but there's something called a veneer scraper, and it's nothing but a flat piece of steel that's very thin, and it's made out of spring steel. If you take a file to the edge of it and make it square, and you take something called a burnisher, which is a very hard piece of steel that's got these rounded edges, and you come at it at an angle about like this, and you pull really hard on it, you'll actually pull the metal up, and it makes a burr on the edge, and if you turn that thing around and flex it and push on it, It'll take a finish right off. Like, I'll have to actually demonstrate it sometime because it's a very interesting thing that's not sandpaper, and it's a lot more fun and more interesting. But again, think of the two things that are there: a file which is made out of metal, and then the burnisher that's made out of metal on the furniture scraper that is metal, and then it becomes very useful once one sharpens the other, and that's what the scriptures refer to when they talk about iron sharpening iron. Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, says this about discipleship. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, pause for effect, to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So discipleship is about us being taught, and it's about getting together to be taught for that iron sharpening iron. Pastor also asked me to speak about the direction that Parkway is headed. In the last 30 days, There's been two families at this church who have gone from their secular vocation into full-time, going into the full-time ministry. One is going out from the church, one couple is going out from the church, and one came in. And there's a commitment there that they've made, an awakening and a direction that God is giving them. These are people who have been discipled and followed these trends and understand through the relationship and the word that God is speaking to them and giving them those directions. We're at a place right now in our church where the maturity of the discipleship that we've been trying to do over the past 2.5-3 years is something that we're looking at to determine how ready we are to be able to take on some of the tasks that that are and opportunities that are coming to us. But I will say that many are rising up and finding and sharing and using their gifts behind the scenes right now. In fact, there's a vision team that's been put in place, and many have said yes to using their gifts to do ministry beyond our community. So there will be many vision teams in regards to many different kind of things, but this one is specific to an opportunity that we have coming up with our church right now that's super exciting. I'm not in a position to be able to say what those things are, but they'll be coming soon. Soon you'll be hearing about these other opportunities that your staff, board, and elders are praying about. I'm telling you, they're really exciting. Again, we have been we've been working on discipleship to be able to have opportunities to serve and enlarge the kingdom. But it's here now. The opportunity Tony's are actually here now. Often, time, given the right amount of time, we can measure the success of our discipleship and the desire to minister outside the church as well as in. If we're kind of immature as a church body, then everything we'll be doing will be inward. And as we grow and we grow in our faith and we grow in our discipleship and we grow in our understanding and our gifts and who we are, then we'll find ourselves kind of starting to go outside the community. And these are the opportunities that I'm talking about. There's actually a plethora of things and opportunities that have come our way and trying to decipher through as the staff to which ones and having the people to be able to come forward and say, here I am, Lord, use me, is kind of where we're at. This is the threshold that we're at right now. Besides the church coming to those places, we must also consider this threshold for ourselves individually. Ask yourself the questions of some of the things that I've been talking about. The price that Jesus paid is severe. We want to make sure that we're not squandering what he did for us on the cross. We have the opportunity of being restored back to the Father as Adam and Eve were before their disobedience through discipleship, through the Word, and direct relationship with the Father. Are we disciplined enough in our own discipleship, our gifts, and our intentionality in the Word of God and personal relationship with him to follow him and serve him the way that he served? I'd like to introduce John, one of our board members. He's going to talk to you about serving.
So, wow, guess who's in control of the clock? I would like to suggest it's not me. I'm believing that the Holy Spirit, we want to be respectful of your time, but I just like to, I mean, the fact that I come up here smiling is kind of amazing to me, so I'm going to share this and take a little bit of time to do it. It's interesting what the thoughts that you can have before you get up into a position like this. So I'm literally sitting here thinking, okay, so like, is everything that's zipped up needs to be zipped up? I know, kind of weird, but and is my shirt all buttoned? I mean, is my hair parted in the right place? Do I have my glasses so I can see my notes? It's really weird how that happens. So that's why I was smiling when I came up here. It was kind of humorous to me, the things that can distract you. But even as I come up here and I stand, I also have this feeling that the Lord is here saying, I got this. Not me. He's saying to us that I got this. And so I'm believing that as we stand here this morning that the Holy Spirit really has something for us. And thank you, Crystal and Mark, for the words that you shared and the direction that you've taken us. I'm going to get a little more specific this morning because I literally want to talk about you individually, every person sitting in this room this morning. It was interesting. Pastor a few weeks ago asked us to speak this morning, and it was by text. You always have the opportunity by text to think about it a little bit before you respond. And so Crystal and I were talking about this a little bit this morning. My initial response is, no, not me. Not me. And then the Holy Spirit reminds me a month or two ago in a Sunday evening service, God had given me a different message that says, we need to get into that battleship. We're not on a cruise ship. You know, we need to say yes and let God utilize us and use us in ministry. And so, obviously, thinking about what I had already said, how could I tell Pastor no? I know he had already prayed about it. So, obviously, my decision was yes. And so the week after that, Rhonda from the church got a hold of me and said, okay, if you need anything displayed on the board, if you have any scriptures, if you have a message and you want that up there so people can read that, get that to me by Tuesday. Tuesday came and Tuesday went and I had nothing. Except Wednesday morning I woke up with one thing with four words in my mind. It's kind of that place where you're not quite woke up, but you're waking up. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me these four words. Why are you here? Why are you, every single one of you, why are you here this morning? So I want to talk about that with you. I want to talk to you a little bit about the awesome God that we serve and who he is. My glasses, I remembered them so I could see my notes. I want to talk to you this morning about the awesomeness of God who cares so much for you that he has you sitting right where you're sitting, hearing exactly what you're hearing by people you don't know very well. Some of you in here, you don't know me. You see, I believe, and the word declares in Psalms 37:23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his walk. Meaning that a righteous person's path is guided and directed by God, implying that he walks in a way that is pleasing to God and is supported by his hand, even when facing challenges. So many of you that don't know me might find that kind of, and it might be a reasonable question to ask. You know, that's pretty bold to stand on that platform, behind that pulpit, and declare yourself to be a good man. Here's where I stand. One of the things we didn't mention when we started this morning, Pastor wants to declare this Sunday as a declaration Sunday. So here's where I'm going to stand on the word, and I'm going to declare for myself and over everybody in this sanctuary and everybody online, here's what I want to declare over you. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he lived, he died, that he rose again, and he's coming again, and he is the Son of God, your steps are ordered of the Lord. Many of this morning don't know me and might have that question. So here's the scripture I want to share with you, Galatians 2, 19 through 21. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. You have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live. It's no longer I that live, but it's God that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Every person sitting within the sound of my voice or listening online, every person that's confessed their sins, walking by faith, not by sight, your steps are ordered of the Lord, and you're here sitting in his presence right now listening to someone you don't know say things that you need to hear. This isn't for me. Well, it is. I mean, I had to work through this, and God's speaking to me when he was giving this, but it's for all of us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. John 15:16. You did not choose me. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Why are you here? God pre-selected the city where you live. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that you believe in. God pre-selected the city where you live. He even placed you in the very neighborhood where you now reside. Furthermore, of all the churches he could have picked this morning, or that you could have gone to, he put you here. I think that's a miracle. It took a great deal of planning on God's part, something the Bible tells us he's very good at. Acts 17:26 from the NIV. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should be. You are here in this body this morning for a purpose. God chose you for a very specific purpose. And if God didn't have expectations for you to succeed in that purpose, he wouldn't have allowed you to be born. He never would have bothered to create you. You have one purpose, just as I do, in this life, to live for Christ on earth. And we need to invest it wisely. God would never have given us the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel if he'd never intended us for to actually move forward. Peter tells us that the Lord is not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God would say that wouldn't have not said such a thing if it were not possible. We are called into this great work, but none of us can do it alone. No pastor can single-handedly fulfill such a calling, regardless of how gifted he may be. And folks, we have a gifted pastor put here for a purpose, for this time, and we are blessed. Pastor Jay shared a message with us last week, and I pray that it captured your heart and you couldn't stop thinking about it this week. One of the things that he shared in the sound of you was this comment: what produces the sound of him in our lives is the response when he says, "Where are you?" Matthew 5:14-16 in the NIV says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who art in heaven." Just before that, Matthew 5:13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." For the sake of time, I was going to share some scripture. Crystal made reference to it earlier, as did Mark. We are the body of Christ. The body is made up of many parts. The hand can't tell the foot that the foot's not needed. We are all part of the body of Christ. We all have a place in the body. We all have something that God's calling us to do. Many in this room have not found that place in the body yet. So what you're hearing this morning is there is a place there for you in this kingdom where God wants to use you. We're trying to encourage, trying to come alongside of that. If the worship team would like to come back up, I'm just going to share a few things with you. First of all, if you're new here this morning, if you're a first-time visitor, if you've been here for weeks or months, we aren't trying to get you to join a church, Parkway. We're not trying to get you to join Parkway. What we're trying to do is populate heaven. How many here have heard pastors share that? We are trying to populate heaven. We are thankful that you're here this morning because God brought you here. But if this doesn't feel like home, find a place that speaks and preaches the word of God that you can become a part of and be an instrument for his namesake, that you will be a light in a world that shines bright, in a place that's dark. Look around. What are you seeing in the world? It's a dark place. And who are we? We are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You need to begin to ask God, "Lord, what is it that you have for me? I am nothing special." The one thing I did many years ago is I prayed a dangerous prayer. I prayed, "God, here am I, use me." Many times I've been called out of a comfort zone. I'm in places I don't think I'm qualified to be, but I know what's in me. I know the Holy Spirit says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer. First of all, as I talked about, we hope this feels like home to you. But I want to tell you a little bit about Parkway. We do have a vision. Our pastor has a vision. And he shared this with us. Our tangible vision can be explained with the numbers 1,110 and 1. 1,000 represents our desire to be healthy, vibrant, growing conduit of what God is doing that fully utilizes what he has entrusted to our stewardship. Do we want these pews filled? Absolutely. We want the Holy Spirit to bring people here, and we want ourselves to be prepared to minister to them, to train them up, as Mark has talked about, as Crystal's talked about, to provide opportunity to mentor, to disciple, to let you discover who you are in Christ Jesus, where you fit in. Because you're there, you are part of the body. 100 illustrates a desire to equip the body to do the work of the ministry. We don't believe in celebrity pastors. We have an amazing one. The pastor will be the one that stands up here. Don't look at me. Take me out of the message. Don't see me. We chase after him. As we chase after him, everything else follows behind that. We don't chase after signs and wonders. We're chasing him. We want to populate heaven. 10 represents our desire to raise up and release people into the mission field. And one illustrates the heart of the shepherd who left the 99 to seek after the one. Parkway will be known for the heart found in uniting the 99 for the one. I believe this morning that our Heavenly Father wants you, because you're here and He brought you. I believe this morning that our Heavenly Father wants us to understand why we are here and who He is. In Isaiah 46, verse 4, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer and worship, and then we'll come up and close as the Holy Spirit would guide us. God bless.
Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name, it stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries,
mindful of our amazing pastor that God's gifted us with. And I'm always amazed as we get to the end of a service, his heart for the lost, his heart for those who may be in our presence right now this morning, who may not have ever had the opportunity to raise their hand and say, I'm here, I want to be different. I want Jesus to enter into my life. I want to be a part of this. The truth is, this is the first time you've ever been here. If you've never had the opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, He put you here this morning. He brought you here for a reason. And that reason is to speak to your heart and give you the opportunity. Before we were back in the prayer room, we were praying. And the prayer was this: Lord, give them eyes to see, give them ears to hear, and give them the heart posture to receive what I'm saying. So right now, where you're at, if God is speaking to your heart that way, He's the one doing it. It's nothing else. It's no man up here talking. The Holy Spirit is speaking into somebody's life right now. So we're not going to pass this moment. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you would just bow your heads and pray with me. First of all, I'd just like to give that opportunity. Is there anybody here this morning that feels like this is your day? God brought you here for a reason. This is your opportunity. You want to confess your sins and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Right where you're at, with everybody's head bowed, eyes closed, if you'll just raise your hand. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for everybody that is here this morning. Father, you know the hearts that you're speaking to. You know the things that need to happen. You know the circumstances, Lord, that you allow in our life to get our attention. And we're thankful, Lord. We pray a blessing over each person here. The next thing, even as I was sitting there, what was heavy on my heart was, as I'm even speaking these words, in my mind I'm thinking of all the loved ones that I have in my life that I wish were right here. Now, God's going to do it all in His time. He's going to do it in only a way that He can. I have no control over that. But what I do have control of is the opportunity to come before God in prayer, believing by faith. When I pray for those people, God's going to hear my prayer. So what I felt led to do this morning, just as I walked up here, is this moment. I mean, by a show of hands, I'm thinking, if I ask this question, who has God put on your heart right now? Who is it that you love? Who is it that you would like to experience the thing that you're experiencing in your life? That peace that passes understanding. Where the word tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made unto the God, and the peace of God that passes understanding. How would you like that peace in your heart for the people you love? So what I feel like this morning as I stand here before you, and I'm going to be praying for that, I think it's an opportunity for us to respond. I think there's power in moving. I think there's power when you step out. I think God meets you immediately in that. So this place is going to be open and available to you. I am going to ask you to move forward or stay where you are, however you feel about that. But there's power in moving. So I'm just going to give a few minutes for those of you that want to stand in intercession for those you love that God's putting on your heart right now, believing God can change it in a moment. He begin to minister to them, bring people alongside of them. The Holy Spirit's beginning to speak to them. He has a plan for them just like He does for us. Our part in that is, what are you here for? What are you going to do when God says, where are you? And what are you going to do when God says, pray for my people? Pray for my people. So I'm just going to take a moment before I close this in prayer. Those of you that want to come and stand right here or where you're at, for those people you love, that you want God to begin to deal in their life, that you want God to begin to do miracles like He's done in your life, we're just going to take a few moments. Come if you will. Father, we're just thankful.
So
right now, wherever you're sitting, wherever, whatever's going on here in this moment, if you're here at the altar, if you're close enough to somebody that you can lay your hand on their shoulder, you can extend your hand towards them, whether you're out there in the pews, if you can just lay your hand on somebody, begin to pray for that person. Pray for that person knowing they're praying for somebody, and somebody will be praying for you. We're going to intercede here this morning, and we're going to believe. We're not just asking. We are asking and we are believing for good things to begin to happen. The other part of that is we're giving him over. We're giving them over to the Holy Spirit to allow whatever needs to happen in their life to happen so that they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We're standing here in intercession for people that God loves, for people that we love. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word. We thank you for those you brought here this morning for a purpose and a reason, because you had a plan. We pray, Father, as we pray to you and believe, God, that you're going to touch the lives of those people that are represented here this morning. We're praying for the lost, Father, many of the lost. We're praying for the prodigal, the sons, the daughters, the grandchildren. Father, we're praying generationally. We're praying, Father, that your Holy Spirit would begin to add into the church daily those as such you choose to be saved. Father, we give you all praise. We give you all glory. We stand here, Lord, in awe of who you are and what you do. Father, we're thankful. Thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray a special blessing over this congregation and over these people, your people, Lord, over your church. Father, as we leave this place this morning, may we leave this place with a confident assurance that you hold those people, your children, in your hand. You'll work it out because that's what you do best. We'll give you praise and glory and honor. Lord, you are awesome. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you brought us here. In Jesus' name, amen.